Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You weren't here for the origin of that.
Sound like Shaq yawning or something.
It's Chris Berman. Berman was doing highlights. Matthew Judon tipped the ball, took it back for six. And during the replay, Berman went, "Nyeh!" Like, just really, it was like really out
sounded
of place.
Sounded like it was auto-tuned or something.
Yeah, I slowed it down.
Okay, all
right. And like tripled the length.
Oh, okay.
And that's what my head sounds like this morning.
Yeah, that audio, is just, it disturbs me.
That's what my head sounds like.
That's like Matrix audio. Like you just took one of those pills and you're, no.
All right. 844-326-3663. That is both the call-in and the text-in number this AM. Our text poll question of the day, and I'll tell you where the voting stands so far. You have until 9:40 a.m. to get your votes in. How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch this year? Non-playoff games did you watch this year? Text your answer to 844-326-3663. Was it, and you got to text the word, none, one, O-N-E, T-W-O, or a handful. If you watched a handful, text the word more, M-O-R-E. Text the word none, one, two, or more. Right now, great one. 64% of our listeners say they watched at least a handful of games. Texted the word more to 844-326-3663. 27% said two, and 9% said none. Didn't watch one. Zero people said they only watched one bowl game. And that makes sense, right? Like if you're a football fan enough that you watch your team play a non-playoff bowl game, you're probably a football fan enough that you watched some other teams play as well. Now, I probably should have phrased this question better. I should have said, you watched more than a couple of snaps of it, right? Like you didn't just flip the channel and it was on, or you're at work and the TV in the break room had a bowl game on or whatever. Like you actually watched the game, not you were exposed to it. You actually sat down and watched the game. But I worded it the way I worded it, which is, how many non-playoff bowl games did you watch this year? Text your answer to 844-326-3663. None, one, two, or more. Use the word none, the word one, the word two, or the word more, and let us know how many bowl games, non-championship, non-playoff games, did you watch this year? Let's get a couple of texts in here because Rob Brown had a real bad morning, was late to work, so he didn't get time to put the Audio Blitz clips in. So we'll just have an extended Audio Blitz tomorrow on the show. T-Experience Texas said, I love your idea of the reseed, Rob. Top seed gets the weaker opponent each round. Honestly, if we're going to stay at 12, I think that's the only way to do it, right? I think that's the only way to do it. Because, again, if you look at the bracket, if you look at the way the bracket was shaped up this year.
Well, who's the top seed right now?
The top seed in this round would be the 5 seed Texas. This round would shape up exactly how it shaped up. It would be Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame.
All right.
5, 8, 6, 7. Round one did shape up that way. The highest seed that didn't get a bye, Texas, played the 12 seed Clemson. That's how a bracket works. In round two, however, in round two it shaped up that way. Oregon would have still played Ohio State. The second highest seed, Georgia, played the lowest remaining 7. The 3 seed, Boise, played 6. The 4 seed played 5. So it shaped up that way. It actually has been that way in this bracket. So now that we really actually take a look at it, the concept of reseeding doesn't matter if you get the bye. It would matter if you either had all 8 or 16, or you can't have 12 without a bye. It would matter if you had 16 teams and no buys, right? That the highest remaining seed, if one falls to 16, two gets the lowest of whoever is still alive, right? However that's going to work out. I think that's on the table. But I would look at this. How about UNC Chris's idea, Alonzo? We do it Royal Rumble style. Every round, every team draws a ping pong ball out of a bingo spinner, and you just have random chaotic matchups every round. I'll tell you why that's not going to fly, UNC Chris. It's not going to fly because the coaches are going to be like, absolutely not, hell no, right? Because while if I'm Oregon, I don't know who's winning between Tennessee and Ohio State, but I do know that it's either going to be Tennessee or Ohio State, and I can prep for those two teams. Versus if I'm Oregon and I go, I don't know which of the 4 teams are left. I think it's a hilarious idea, but I'm here for it. All of that being said, I think the number one thing I want to do is get rid of byes. I think we either go up to 16 or I think we go down to 8. I think that's the way to do it.
They're not going to go down.
No, they're absolutely not going to go down.
Yeah.
Now here, scratch that. I wonder if they might be willing to, great one, and there is a reason why. College football got its ass whipped by the NFL when they went head-to-head in round one, right? Clemson and Texas, SMU, Penn State. Now, you can make the argument that, and I think it's fair, those were the two least compelling opening round games, respectfully to Clemson. Nobody cared about those games outside of our market.
Why do you have to be respectful to anybody?
I'm respectful to everyone. I'm a respectful gentleman.
Uh-huh.
Those were the games that had the biggest margin of the biggest spreads. Those were the games that, like, Texas was picked by, like, 90% of America to win that game. Penn State was picked by, like, 80-something percent of America to win that game. They just weren't on paper. It's not to say they could not have turned into them, but on paper they turned out not to be compelling, and on the field they ended up not being compelling. Clemson, Texas was compelling for one half, but then Texas just war of attrition Clemson into the dirt. So I think there's – let's start with this. You want the easiest, simplest way to make this happen? Just get rid of conference championship games. That's the easiest way to do this. Get rid of conference championship games. But just like Lonzo said a second ago, we all know they're not going to go down in tournament size. They are either going to stay the same or go up in tournament size. They're not going to go down. We all know that. If you're not going to go down in tournament size, then this is easy to me. You get rid of conference championship games, you go to 16 teams. Nobody's got to buy. We play it round robin style. However, and I've told you this already, like we had Chip Patterson, we had a clip from Chip Patterson earlier in the week from CBS Sports. And Chip said, conference championship games are relatively new inventions, relatively new creations. Get rid of the conference championship games and let's go on from there. And I actually agree with that. The thing is, the conferences aren't going to agree to that. And we all know at this point, the conferences, along with their television partners, are the ones who call the shots. the conferences make mucho dinero on the conference championship games. They make mucho dinero from the money. They make mucho dinero from the TV networks, from the gates, from the merch. They make a ton of money off of that. And as we all know, college football obviously is a money-driven enterprise. College football conferences are not going to say, yeah, we'll go ahead and forfeit X million dollars on our conference championship games to make the playoff format better. They're not going to do that. So I don't know how you work around that. You can get rid of, and I'm also going to tell you right now, they're going to push back on getting rid of auto buys for conference champions. Why? Because if the auto buy goes away, what the hell's the point of winning the conference championship? If the committee has already told us, and they have, if the committee has already told us that, you will not be punished for losing a conference championship game. You can go up from winning it, but you can't come down from losing it. Why in the hell would I go out there and bust my ass to win it, right? Why would I go out there and bust my hump to win the conference championship game if I know I can't be hurt by losing it, A? And if I can't be hurt by losing it, A, and B, all I can do is get hurt. You know what that turns conference championship games into? Week 18 NFL games where you got some teams playing backups. Maybe you have a team that slips in and they're sitting at, you know, 15, 16, and they're like, we may not get in if we don't win this thing, and they go busted. But if I'm a Duck, if I'm a Buckeye, if I'm a whatever, and I'm in the top 12. I went 11-1. I'm in no matter. I went 12-0. Winning the conference championship's irrelevant. Wouldn't I trot out all of my freshmen? Wouldn't I trot out my young guys? Wouldn't I send out the guys that don't get XP and be like, hey, go see what a game feels like in case we need you in the big dance?
It's a little too obvious.
So what? Just like week 18 in the NFL. Is it obvious that Kansas City doesn't care about beating Denver? Yes. Does anybody care? No. They're already in. Objectively.
I cared because they let Denver get in by doing it. But still.
Okay, again, who cares? You have the one seed. If Denver makes it to that spot, they got to come to you. Who cares?
Yeah, but Rob, you don't understand. I hate Denver.
I know. You're playing the rivalry game. Who cares? Right? Like to the institution rulers, to the suits, they don't care. They don't care about your rivalry. They don't care. So I don't know. Pat McNeil, DBA, Spike Callahan on our live stream, which you can watch at facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube.
It's a really long name, by the way. It's really,
I like it a lot. Yeah. The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Come watch all 4 hours of the show, all 5 days per week. We have fun here. He said, I can solve that. Give the conference champions a cash payout. Give the comp. I mean, they already get one. But, like, if you put some sort of big financial stipulation, winner of this game gets an extra 5 minutes. Here, you want to do it?
How big is noticeable?
Here you go.
For a conference, it's got to be pretty big.
Here you go. I got you. I'm gonna take your idea one step further. Pat McNeil, DBA, Spike Callahan. I'm going to take your idea one step further. Lonzo, the corporate sponsor of the bowl game, or of the conference championship game. And this really probably is only going to fit for the Big Ten, the SEC, maybe the ACC and the Big 12. Talk the corporate sponsor into giving a $5 million NIL collective donation to the biggest NIL collective of the school that wins the conference championship. So Oregon, Georgia, Clemson, and Arizona State all get $5 million in corporate money straight to their NIL collectives just for NIL purposes. Now, if I'm a coach, I'm going to bang the drum, right? $5 million to NIL? That's going to help in recruiting a little bit. Now I'm going to bang the drum. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to handle it, right? Pat McNeil, DBA, Spike Callahan says, no, give it to the players. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I put it in the NIL. And then the NIL can say, oh, Cam Scataboo We want you to come back for one more year with the Sun Devils after you won us a Big 12 championship. Here's a $1 million NIL payout from the five we got. Hey, whoever else, you helped. And also, hey, five-star recruit out of Arizona, we don't want you to go to USC. Why don't you come play for the Sun Devils? Here's a milli, right? Like, it's a good idea. That's all well and good. But I'll put it this way, because we got to get to a break. I'll put it this way. Zoe, something's got to change. The format as it sits has just produced until now, and we'll see, both of the conference championship games are two of the smaller spreads we've seen. Notre Dame is favored by 2.5. The Buckeyes are favored by 5.5, which actually is down a point, by the way. You guys were favored by 6.5. Initially, it opened at 5.5. It jumped to 6.5. Now it's back to 5.5, meaning that there's a lot of money coming in on five-seeded Texas. We'll see what the semis look like. But the 12-team playoff for rounds 1 and 2 was kind of a dud in year number one. Kind of a dud. First off, does it matter? Second off, does it matter if we expand? Does it matter if we get rid of conference championship buys? Like, what does it matter when you take into the context of what it's going to do to the regular season and to other teams, et cetera? I don't know. All right, let's get away from that. Let's talk some NFL.
Yeah, why don't you help our guy Will out, who hasn't heard the new text line?
Don't mind if I do. Will and everyone else out there in Sportslandia, our text line is now the same as our call-in number. Our text line is now the same as our call-in number, 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. That is the number to text the show and call the show. I want you to text the answer to today's text line question of the day. How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch? Text none, text one, O-N-E, text two, T-W-O, or text more, M-O-R-E. Text the spelled out word, none, one, two, or more. How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch? To 844-326-3663. We'll count those up at the end of the show on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate rolling through hour number three. Oh, look, what a tag from ESPN. Bye, son. As NDSU behind 121 rushing yards from their quarterback, Cam Miller, including 64 on a gut run for a tutty. The Bison win the FCS championship this year. Good for them.
Oh, no, it's back.
It's never going to leave. It's a part of you. It's a part of me. It's a part of us. Da Bears. Da Bison. Win your FCS title. All right. We have spent quite a bit of time talking about the college football playoff structure after my Saturday co-host, Cody Decker. Cody Decker is not enamored with these. Not the playoffs, just these playoffs. Not the concept, just this bracket in particular. And he said a couple of times that he thinks some changes need to be made to make it more entertaining in the future. And again, I said to him what I've said to many of you about many things over the years. Be careful. Be careful, because trying to be entertaining has ruined many things. Trying to be more entertaining ruined boxing. Trying to be more entertaining, I'm not going to say it has ruined MMA, but it's getting close. It's getting close, because it gets to the point where if you're not the most entertaining, you're not entertaining. Like, that's the, to me, that's the cultural positioning that we find ourselves in America in 2025. If you're not the most blank, then you're not that thing. There's not room for more than a couple of things in the national zeitgeist. There's room for one thing, and it's the most whatever. That this is why, for the record, this is why, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, this is why I think sports talk radio has taken a dive to some point. Because there is this overwhelming, and I feel it. I don't know if everybody agrees or not. I feel it. There is this overwhelming feeling amongst the general American populace that if you don't have the hottest take, then I'm not going to listen to you. If you don't have the most exhilarating sports talk radio, I'm not going to listen to you. The reason the Rob Brown Show is the way the Rob Brown Show is because my entire philosophy behind it has always been, I am never going to be the best hot take artist. I've never been the best hot take artist on any station I've ever worked at. I'm never going to be the best hot take artist. I'm never going to be the smartest guy in any room that I walk into. I'm just not. There's a lot that I'm never going to be. There is only one thing that I can be the absolute best version of.
That's my line. Don't be taking my line.
I mean, again, Lonzo and I are, it's a race to the bottom.
We'll take an IQ test right now. We'll see who's dumber.
I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm saying almost exclusively, when I say the room, in the sports radio landscape, I know ball, but there's always going to be guys who are ball knowier than I am, right? There's always going to be a guy who can go a little bit deeper into the end of the analysis of what happened and why on any given play. There's always going to be a guy. I can say, well, they rolled this cover corner over and it opened up this section of the field. And he goes, yeah, but you know, when this wide receiver turned his hips to the outside, it tricked him. And that's why, I didn't see that, right? There's always going to be that guy. The best thing, the only thing I can do better than anybody else is be me. And sometimes that's loud and obnoxious. Sometimes it's arrogant. Sometimes it's humble. Sometimes it's whatever. Always handsome. Always drop dead sexy. But it's the best version of me. And I just hope that that clicks.
You forgot incredibly humble.
As humble as I am sexy. Which is to say, very. The point here is that I would caution college football into doing too much tinkering for the sake of making the playoff bracket more entertaining, because of how many things have tinkered to be more entertaining, and it's ruined the thing. We're wrestling guys around here. We're wrestling guys. How many great characters in wrestling decided to change their character to be more entertaining, and we went, nah. I love All Elite Wrestling. Hi, guys. That to me, that's one of the problems that All Elite Wrestling is having right now. They had a product that was the best version of that product. What was it? Wrestlers doing wrestling. Sometimes I just want to tune in and watch some wrestling. I just want to watch guys wrestle, right? And they were really good. And then one day they were like, oh, we need to be more WWE-like with our storylines. We need better, deeper, more complicated storylines. But they're not good at it, or at least not as good as other promotions are. They're not as good at it. And then they started to lean on that. And all the things that made AEW very special to me in the early days, that's not the emphasis anymore. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I haven't watched that. I've watched as much AEW. I'm not nearly as committed to watching. I used to watch Wednesday night. That was the only wrestling show I watched live. And now I'm like, hey, I'll check it the next day where I can, you know, I can fast forward through stuff. I don't know. It's when you try to get more entertaining, sometimes you lose what made you special in the first place. I'm a big boxing guy. You guys know that. I haven't made that a secret. I used to work for Roy Jones Jr. back in the day. I love boxing. Always have been a boxing guy. A number of years ago, some guys got into the business, guys like Don King, and they said, let's make boxing more of a show. Now, I'm not against that, but they said, let's make boxing more of a show. And when they did that, they started pumping up the personalities of the boxers. And now all of a sudden,
can you blame Muhammad Ali for that? Because he was the guy who made it a show. And then people tried to be like him after that.
Theoretically could, except for Muhammad Ali is one of the top two or three boxers in history. The problem is we started gravitating. Muhammad Ali got big because he would float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. But then he'd go whip everybody's ass. Nobody could touch him. You could put anybody in there, and he got him, right? Then we started getting to a point where Tyson Fury's lost, what, like three of his last five matches, yet the only boxing I see talked on ESPN is Tyson Fury. Why? Because he's the most entertaining. Because he wins a match, and he grabs a mic, and he starts singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie like he's hammered in a karaoke bar at 3:30 in the morning. And we all go, this guy's ridiculous. I got to see what else he's going to do. We don't talk out about Alexander Usyk, who's beat him two times in a row. We don't talk about, you know, any of the other heavyweights. We got a ton of young up and coming boxing, but we don't talk about them. We talk about whoever's out there. We're still talking about freaking Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather hasn't been relevant to the title scene in 10 years, but we still talk about Floyd Mayweather in these garbage exhibition fights he's putting up against non-boxers, right? We're talking about Tyson Paul, whatever Paul, the dumb one. I mean, they're both dumb ones. We're talking about the dumb ones.
Jake.
That one. We're talking about the dumb ones fighting 59-year-old Mike Tyson, right? Because we, as Americans, gravitate towards entertaining until we kill the thing. How many TV shows have you loved for a season or two? And then what happens? Then we start expecting it to start, you know, be entertaining. And they start doing every old TV. You ever looked at TVTropes.com? It's one of my favorite websites. It just catalogs famous TV and movie tropes that TV shows and movies fall down, right? How I Met Your Mother, one of my favorite examples. How I Met Your Mother. I loved that show for about five seasons. And then towards the end, it became obvious that they were just going to start leaning into classic sitcom tropes. And all of a sudden, what made that show special was gone in the name of be more entertaining. I caution college football. I'm not saying nothing needs to happen because some stuff needs to happen. I caution college football not to get so carried away with it that it takes what makes the college football playoff tournament special out of the occasion. That's where I get concerned. All right, now we'll get away from that. 844-326-3663 is the text line and the call-in number, 844-FANFOD. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I'm always classy. I'm always classy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate Rob, the great one Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. Text us at that same number, 844-326-3663. If you'd like to get at us in that direction, you can also shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Tweet us all at the Fan Upstate. And, of course, join the live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. All the different ways to get in touch with the show. We have talked a lot of college football this morning, predominantly about how it is that we would structure, should we elect to, restructure the college football playoff bracket. And I think that's a an interesting conversation to continue to have. But I want to get to some National Football League, because it is, Lonzo, not Wild Card Weekend. It is Super Wild Card Weekend.
Well done.
Thank you. Been saving that up for a year since last year.
You did have a year of practice.
Right? Super Wild Card Weekend. Meanwhile, in the National Football League.
If you don't say super, they will send you a memo.
Yeah, we get an email for that. Three strikes, you're out. You're fired from radioing if you don't call it Super Wild Card Weekend. Super Wild Card Weekend kicks off on Saturday, 4:30 in the p.m. portion of today. The L.A. Super Chargers are at the Houston Texans. We follow it up at 8 p.m. Pittsburgh is at Baltimore. Then on Sunday, Denver's at Buffalo. Green Bay is at Philly, and Washington's at Tampa Bay. As we go, a pair of AFCers on Saturday, then the early AFC game on Sunday, then the three NFC matchups, two of them on Sunday, 4:30, Green Bay, Philly, 8 o'clock, Washington, Tampa. We wrap it up with a little Monday night footballs. The Minnesota Vikings are on the road at the L.A. Rams. By the way, favored by just 1.5 points against the Rams. Remember, not terribly long ago, Rob Brown said, I'd be careful of these L.A. Rams, boy. I'd be real careful of these L.A. Rams. I'd be careful about these L.A. Rams because of Sean McVay. And I'll tell you who should be particularly afraid at this moment in time is Sam Darnold, Kevin O'Connell, the Minnesota Vikings. I got to tell you, I might go Rams plus 1.5 in this one. Because to me, the blueprint on knocking down Sammy D is now written in stone. Get him. Get him.
Yeah, but you got to have the players to do that sort of thing.
I think the Rams have maybe the most unappreciated defensive line in the NFL this year. First off, remember, Aaron Donald left this team, and they were like, oh no, what do we do? How are we going to handle this? I'm going to tell you how you handle it. Braden Fisk, who they picked up from Florida State, Bobby Brown III, Colby Turner, Byron Young, and I want to introduce you, if you don't already know him, they call him a strong side linebacker. He is just a go-get-him guy, Jared Verse. When Aaron Donald left, it's like, oh, they're taking a step back defensively. Jared Verse has been a machine this year. He has been something else. In fact, I don't think the Rams can win in these playoffs unless those defensive front seven go whip some bootay. And frankly, I think they do in this game. I think the Minnesota Vikings, for a team that, you know, those big up north teams, they're supposed to live and die by having those big, fat, genius, brilliant, strong, tactically sound, mauling offensive lines. Am I right? Minnesota's is okay. You saw that last week. What did the Lions do? There was a short feature on the outside that I absolutely loved. Absolutely loved. There was a spot when the Lions had the ball, where the cameras went over to the sideline and they were looking at Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. And I don't know if you saw this, though, but it killed me. I loved it because they spin the camera over to the sideline. And Aaron Glenn's just kicked up on the bench. He's got his feet up. Like, he's not looking at his tablet. He's just, like, chilling, watching the game. I've never seen a dude. And you know why he was so damn relaxed? Because his defense was whooping that candy ass. They were all over him. Sam Darnold was pressured on 52% of his snaps. Do you know what that resulted in? Sam Darnold throwing inaccurate footballs on 52% of his passes. If you want to know how dramatic that is, until that game, Sam Darnold did not have a game where he was inaccurate on more than 21% of his passes. They doubled his inaccuracy rate just by going to get him, just by sending dudes. And so they, I don't remember who it was that was working the sideline in that game. But whoever it was that was working the sideline was talking a little bit about it. And they're like, yeah, talk to Coach Glenn before the game started. And he said, we told the boys we're going to be aggressive. We told the boys we're getting after him. We're going to get him. We're going to go attack the line of scrimmage. We're going to blow up everything they want to do. We're going to get in Sam Darnold's face and make life suck for that guy. Which is, I mean, Detroit's always been an attacking defense. But, like, attacking on damn near 60%, that's an incalculable blitz rate. That's an inexplicable blitz rate. No defensive coordinator should be blitzing at 60-ish percent. But they did. And Aaron Glenn, when asked about it, he was like, yeah, this was always the plan. And he goes, you want to know why I was confident doing it with Sam Darnold, with Justin Jefferson on the other side of the football, with Cam Akers on the other side of the football? You want to know why I was comfortable doing that? He said, because I went and talked to Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell said, go do you, dog. Go do you. If that's what you think is going to win this game, then go do you, bro. And you know what happened? They went and did them, and they made Sam Darnold regress not to the mean, below it. All of a sudden, Sam Darnold, here's how dramatic it was. I said this earlier this week. I meant it then. I mean it now. I think Sam Darnold played his way out of a $100 million contract extension. Not just that he did that on Sunday night. But when I combine that with the fact that Atlanta paid Kirk Cousins $100 million effectively, and he made it seven games and then got benched because he suddenly sucked. 1-4, 9 picks, 1 touchdown. In the last 5 games, Kirko was the starter. Do you think that there is a team, Minnesota or any of the other 31, that's going to look at what Sam Darnold did when he stepped up against a Super Bowl caliber team and looked bad? He just looked bad. And look at Kirk Cousins, who had the same type of Sam Darnold resurgence in Minnesota, left, played 7 games, and then became a backup because he suddenly forgot how to do a football. You think anybody's giving Sam Darnold $100 million? No, absolutely not. So that's what Detroit does. More importantly, Sean McVay saw that. Sean McVay saw that. Sean McVay, one of the most intellectually advanced coaches in the NFL, you don't have to be a stinking genius to look at what the Lions did to the Vikings this weekend and go, oh, so blitz all the time. What's our game plan, coach? Murder. Our game plan is murder. And I want you to send two murderers every play. I want you to just say to, here's the plan, guys. Here's the plan. We're going to run a 4-3. And every time we get in the huddle, defensive coordinator is going to get on the mic and he's going to say two numbers. If he says your number, go get Sam Darnold. That's your job. That's your job. 72-17. Go get him. That's your job. They've got that now. I would be super careful if I was Minnesota, and I'd run the hell out of the football. I'd run away from the blitz every play. I'll give you another home team or another team that I think's in trouble. Tampa Bay's favored by 3 at the crib. Money's coming in on Washington, and I think the public's right in this one. I like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Can we keep this thing a buck? Lonzo, how many games this year did Baker Mayfield bail the Buccaneers out just by being Baker Mayfield? Honestly, I think most of their wins. Legitimately, I think most of their wins. Every one-score game was because Baker Mayfield did something stupid crazy at the end of the game and got him out. It was all those scrambles. It was those big hits. It was those pitches and those over-the-heads and those laterals and all that. Baker Mayfield being special is the reason that the Buccaneers are 10-7. Honestly, without Baker Mayfield, this team's probably 6-11. Legitimately, they're last in the division without that guy. The Lions game, he won that game for them. I would say that the Panthers game on the road, the 26-23 game that happened up here in Charlotte, Baker Mayfield won them that game. The game this weekend against New Orleans. Baker Mayfield won them that game. What he did on that last touchdown drive, running for his damn life, won them that game. Washington knows that. Washington's got edge rushers. And oh, by the way, if they don't, you know what they do have? I regret that. You know what they do got? Jaden Daniels, who at this point is not afraid of a two-minute drill in the fourth quarter down 3. He ain't afraid of it because every time he's been put in that spot, he's come up aces every time. If Baker Mayfield does something special, Jaden Daniels does something special in this game. I'm going home upset, Rams over the Vikings, and I'm going road upset, Commanders over the Buccaneers in round 1. When we come back in round 2, let's take a look at the rest of the bracket, the 4 early games in this one. The Chargers favored on the road. Baltimore by double digits. The Bills by 9.5. The Eagles by not a touchdown over a banged up Green Bay Packers. Why not? I'm going to tell you the answer to all of those.
I just want to say, I'm going to go the exact opposite of you on those first picks.
You're going Minnesota and Tampa?
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Let's talk about all of them. And the rest of them as we continue our NFL discussion on the other side of this break. Before this break, Lonzo is not going to entertain you. He's going to educate you. He's going to enlighten you. And he's going to invigorate you vigorously.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to attempt to do all those things, but probably will fail miserably. Except for the vigorously thing. The football championship subdivision title belongs once again to the North Dakota State Bison, who knocked off previously undefeated and top-seeded Montana State 35-32. The title is the Bison's 10th, all of which have come in the last 14 seasons. No other school has more than 6. That's a lot. It's a whole lot. After their first-round playoff loss, Clemson officially relieved defensive coordinator Wes Goodwin of his duties yesterday. Dabo Swinney made the announcement via a press release on social media. Goodwin was promoted to the position in 2002 to replace Brent Venables. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus the Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. They're pretty good, by the way, the fan upstate.